It was on December the 30th, 1841, that a group of 12 young Irish women belonging to the Institute of the Blessed Virgin Mary, IBVM, better known as the Loreto Sisters, landed in Calcutta, British India, in what is Kolkata today, 4 months after setting sail from Ireland, never intending to return home. This intrepid band of 7 sisters and 5 postulants, averaging just 18 years of age, were led by Sister Delphine Hart. And after landing in Calcutta, they never looked back, and today the congregation is active in many parts of India, Nepal and Bangladesh. The Loreto Sisters of South Asia, headquartered in Kolkata, are currently marking 175 years of their presence in the region. Remember, Reimage, Renew is the theme of the year-long celebration that began on December the 17th. To know more about them, we called Indian sister Anita Braganza, the superior of the Loreto province of South Asia, on her phone in Kolkata. Today, in the first of a two-part interview, she begins by narrating the saga of this first batch of Loreto nuns in Calcutta.
Well, the group that came out were really a very young group. The eldest being the team leader, Delphine Hart, who was just 23. And along with her came others who were young sisters and postulants. So altogether, there were 11 of them. How did we come to India? Dr. Backus was sent from India to the Mother General then, who was Teresa Ball, to request her to send sisters to India because there was a real need for the education of the Catholic girls here. And at that time, India was still under the British. They came up basically at the request of Dr. Backus. Teresa Ball apparently first said no. And then when she prayed about it, she went to the community and asked them who'd like to go. And to her surprise, the whole community had their hands up. And I'm sure they all knew they were never going to return. So then she took it up from there and the sisters came out.
Now today, how many are you there?
We are a very small group in comparison to other congregations, really. We're just 135 professed sisters, and we have 14 novices and 8 candidates. And we're spread over India, Nepal, and Bangladesh. So quite a phenomenal amount of work, actually, when we were looking at it, remembering our past. It's such a small group. It's a great number. We are nearly mostly being younger sisters now, a blessing.
For these 175 years, sister, what are the various programs and events that you have planned?
We have a website on for the year, but we've just finished an opening Eucharist, which we held at the Science City. So it was a beautiful Eucharist, and we had an original play with music and dance written by one of our staff, tracing the history of Loreto. And we took in 21 schools together along with our children from our Rainbow Homes and Development Centers to put up quite an entertainment drama reflection, a play, a beautiful play. Then we had the Legacy Walk, really retracing the steps of our sisters. So we had about 2,000 for that as well, walking the streets. So we were flanked off at Governor's House and right here in the Loreto House. And along the way, we have other programs in the different schools, whether they're quizzes, debates, etc. But we are also planning for a big international conference on anti-trafficking just for South Asia. So that's going to be between October and November. We have also programs for our past pupils. We've already had one big reunion here in Loreto House. We had about 600 for that. But at the end of the year, we've already started planning for that, a big fan reunion in December. So all along the way, there are celebrations planned. So we will close the celebrations in December again with thanksgiving to God for blessings, the Eucharist, and another event.
Now tell us about your origin, sister. You are popularly called the Sisters of Loreto, Loreto Sisters, but you're officially Institute of the Blessed Virgin Mary, IBVM.
Our founder was actually an Irish woman. So we are what we call the Irish branch of the Institute, because we still have a German branch. We have the same foundress, the Congregatio de Jesu. So our foundress was English, and she started the congregation at a time when there was great persecution in England. She was born in the 16th century. So there was a lot of persecution of Catholics by the Protestants. So she was ready to safeguard the faith. And along that line, she went on to educating women and girls. And it's also interesting that she went wherever there was a need. So you have stories of her going to women who didn't have, you know, such good characters. She was reaching out to children, to the poor. She herself went through a call within a call before she finally founded the Institute of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Mary Ward was a great woman. So she was in trouble with the church because she was the first woman religious who talked about, you know, not being under a bishop, for the congregation to have a woman as its head, one of the congregation. She believed that we were called to ministry out of the monastery, to be apostolic. We took on the Jesuit rules as well, the Ignatian spirituality, the Ignatian constitution. She also believed that we were not meant to be in religious habits or in a religious dress, that we were to dress like ordinary women of the day in simple clothes, so that we could freely move among people and minister in that way. So she was breaking boundaries of all kinds. So she did have quite a lot of opposition. And thank God, the church has now recognized her as venerable, and we're working really hard towards her beatification. So Mary Ward was the foundress. And from then on, the Institute spread all over Europe. Because of historical reasons and because of the problems of church, so many of the foundations became separate because they couldn't communicate with each other. They came directly under bishops. So Ireland was formed in that way. So Teresa Ball founded the Irish branch. And from there, Delphine Hart was sent out to India. In fact, India was the first foundation of the Institute of the Blessed Virgin Mary from Ireland.
Outside of Ireland, you mean?
Outside of Ireland, yes.
Tell us about the presence of the Loreto sisters in the world today.
Okay. Since then, Loreto is in every continent all over the world. And along with that, of recent times, we have really started missions in more developing countries, third world countries, like in Bangladesh, East Timor, South Sudan, Zambia, Morocco, Nepal. Other than being in the US, Canada, Australia, Mauritius, Ireland, India, of course. So we've really moved. We're taking a huge shift and going to places where we feel the need is greatest. In fact, India has now opened itself to the General Superior, saying that we are ready to send sisters out. In fact, one has just been commissioned for East Timor. Another one is working in Manila. Another one is in Peru. So we feel this is the time for us to be in places where we are needed the most. So we're all crossing boundaries at this time to address the needs of the poor all around the world.
After this first landing in Calcutta on the 30th of December 1841, what was the major step outside of Calcutta and how did you expand all over South Asia?
We started in Calcutta, and it might be interesting to know that within a week of our landing, these young sisters started two schools. They were tremendous women. And within a year's time, we started in Tally, we started all our other schools. Okay, the first move out was to Darjeeling. Rough terrain, they had to go through jungles, carried on palanquins, and lots of stories around that. So that was in 1846. And then we built Sialdah in 1857, then moved on to Lucknow in 1872, and Asansol in 1877. Dharamtala came in 1879. So we spread really fast. In 1890, we went to Ranchi, to Shimla, up in the Himachal in 1892. So it continued to spread. Then in 1900, we started the second school in Lucknow, then to Shillong. So it kept growing. The bishops, I think, realized that we did a good job with education, formal education at that time. And so they kept pushing the sisters, inviting them, challenging them to move. And if we read our history sometimes, it really cost the sisters a lot to move. In fact, they were not ready at times. Nowadays, you talked about enculturation and things. At that time, it was nothing. It was all foreign terrain for them. And yet, they did it. And they did it well. So bishops kept telling them, okay, move here. In fact, they even went to Bangladesh way back. And then we gave it up and returned. So as we moved, we met a need. And as the need was met and we felt we couldn't continue there, we handed on to someone else and moved on to other places. So to this day, if you have to look back just now, we are actually in about 51 different ministries around the country in Nepal and Bangladesh. So other than schools, we've got our rainbow homes, 5 rainbow homes. We've got our 2 development centers. And the development centers themselves are really far-reaching in their influence and in being agents of change.
That was the first of a 2-part interview with Indian sister Anita Braganza, the superior of the Loreto province of South Asia, on the 175 years of her congregation in the region. Tune in the same time next week for the final part of this interview. This has been The Backgrounder, a weekly feature of Vatican Radio's English Service for Asia.